That next morning in the hotel room was eerily quiet. November 12th. I brushed my teeth. I grabbed my singlet, shorts, jacket, pants, and race number. My spikes and timing chips were in place. I packed my bag. I picked up my MP3 player and threw on the headphones. Looked around the hotel room one last time to make sure nothing was left behind. I was heading to run the biggest race of my life. If you were to ask me why this race remains fresh in my mind to this day, or why it has had such a huge impact on my life ever since, I would tell you it was not just the race as much as it is the four-year journey alongside the guys, my teammates, leading up to this race, and how it influenced what followed after. I'll say it is the strong sense of social support we enjoy. I'll say it is the spirit of generosity amongst us. I'll say it is what it taught me about leadership, about camaraderie, about team dynamics, about dedication, about commitment, about daring to stretch beyond the limit, about belief. I'll say it is what it's still teaching me about being the best I could be. That is why we are so excited to share our journey with you. My name is Adisel Perez.
Leadership. Progress is achieved by those who have the courage and skill to seize opportunity and change things for the better. They lead. Leaders aren't born, Vince Lombardi said. They're made. And they're made just like anything else, through hard work. And that's the price we'll have to pay to achieve that goal. Or any goal. My name is Neville D'Angelo. You are on The Journey.
Along the journey, we stop at intriguing places and meet fascinating people with novel solutions to some of life's tricky questions. And we play a few games and track the remarkable characters of three classic books, A Soundbite Life, Flight of the Fused Monkeys, and Illicet, A Time to Begin Again. All of which can be found on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Welcome. We have found that the key to successful leadership is influence, not authority. The courage to fulfill the vision comes from passion, not position. The challenge of leadership is to be strong, but not rude. To be kind, but not weak. To be bold, but not bully. To be thoughtful, but not lazy. To be humble, but not timid. To be proud, but not arrogant. To have humor, but without folly. Leaders aren't born. They are made.
For those of you that have experienced some hardship, don't give up on your dreams. Their rough times are going to come, but they have not come to stay. They have come to pass.
Greatness is not this wonderful, hotel, elusive, godlike feature that only the special among us will ever take. you know, it's something that truly exists in all of us.
It's very important for you to believe that you are the one.
The day seven boys became men. Part 2. Just so close. Let's meet Aricel Perez. Ari is a successful middle-distance runner, graduate of Texas A&M Corpus Christi, where he majored in business as an academic All-American. Yes, an academic All-American. There's a huge sign here which says, "Don't even ask, do I dare?" His 5K record at Corpus is 14:53, and he's the current steeplechase record holder at 9:04. Ari is all aglow here. Welcome. You and your team had a most remarkable experience as members of Richard King High Mustangs. First, tell us what led you into running and to becoming a Mustang.
I started running in elementary school, and I have an older sister and an older brother, and so they played sports and, of course, always wanting to do what they're doing, kind of follow them around, you know, the baby brother. And so growing up in Corpus Christi, there's Beach to Bay, which is a big six-person relay marathon. And I was in first grade whenever we moved to Corpus, and it was kind of a family event with my mom, my dad, my brother, and my sister, as well as I think it was my uncle the first year that all ran on the team of six. And at that point in first grade, they thought I was too young to run. And so, of course, still wanting to do what my brother and sister did, that was I wouldn't run with them necessarily. But the following year in second grade, they let me come out and play with them, if you will. And so that was kind of my gateway into the running initially. And so after that point, running summer track and into middle school was whenever I first started competing for, say, a school, and went through the whole motions there. And once, you know, it was time to go in the 10 King, that's whenever we jumped aboard that bandwagon.
But how good were you in middle school? Were you?
In middle school, yeah, it was. Even in elementary school, you know, running summer track every summer with the AAU program that's there in Corpus, we would, you know, go to regionals, go to state, and, you know, qualified for National Junior Olympics, I think it's what it's called now, a couple of years. And so it was always, not successful, but it was always around. And so in middle school, you know, kind of just, I was basically known as the guy that ran, you know, the guy there. So, had a lot of success there in middle school, both in cross-country and in track.
Ari is being modest. In fact, he never lost a race in middle school. How did you become a Mustang athlete?
It's, it's a pretty small, tight-knit community on the run side. And so I had been introduced to Coach Castillo years before because my brother ran for him years prior to me attending. So we had always kind of known one another. And so once, you know, I was coming through the pipeline middle school time, I knew I was in his, you know, of going to attend King, and I was going to be under his wing kind of deal. So it was effortless, and it was effortless, and we already had an established relationship going into high school, which made it, you know, we didn't miss a beat once it was, you know, once it was time to go from Cullen to Richard King.
What was it like being a member of that team in the first year?
Yeah, so freshman year, it was definitely a fairly steep learning curve, and for several different reasons. But on the training side especially, you know, we're in middle school and cross country, as an example, you're racing 2 miles, where in high school, at the varsity and the junior varsity level, you're racing 3 miles, which is, you know, it takes a lot more effort and time on the training side to get to that, you know, to perform how you want to. So coming, you know, making that transition, jumping from middle school to, say, an additional mile of racing, you know, you got guys who have been training already, the sophomores, juniors, seniors, guys ahead of me or older than me, that, you know, have already been running the mileage. And it was a challenge, and definitely one that I met head on, because I love competition. You know, with older guys out there, hey, it's a race. Like, this is what we're here for, competition and everything. So, every race there locally was, you know, we had people to run with, and it was even with some of the out of town meets that we would go to. I remember one in College Station my freshman year, and we had this big tall guy out of Austin Westlake, just thinking he just looked like a giant. And here I am, like, I probably weighed 100 pounds looking at this guy that's like 6'2", and just like, I can't run with this guy, you know. And sure enough, you know, those thoughts would go through my head initially, just because you don't have 6'2" people in middle school, say. So, of course, that happens. Those thoughts or doubts would occur you know, beforehand, and then come race time, it's like, no, I want to beat that guy. Not only him, but everybody else around. So all of cross country was like that. And jumping into track season as well, the same thing. I mean, you know, every race was, there was somebody there chasing you or ahead of you or right there with you. So I say that just because, again, that was one of the first times for me that, you know, we had very high level of competition there locally, and I loved it. I just loved competing.
So what do you think accounts for your success? Is it the love for it, or is it what made you so successful in the early stages?
Yeah, I think taking the challenge head on was it, and that's basically it. You know, committing to accepting the challenge was the biggest thing, and I loved it, and I love competition, and I love running. And finally, you know, I had run all my life, and finally the idea of training, an actual training regimen, was introduced to me. And so it took my passion for running to a whole nother level. It's like it's systematic in a way, in comparison to, say, running as a hobby or because you love it. And granted, if those go hand in hand and you love running and you love training, you know, working your butt off, and add to that the competition side, I flourished. I loved it. I mean, dream about it, and wake up, eat it, breathe it, and sleep it kind of deal. So, yeah, it was definitely the challenge, I think, or accepting the challenge was what it was.
Let me toss two quotes at you. They seem apropos. The boy who is going to make a great man must not make up his mind merely to overcome 1,000 obstacles, but to win in spite of 1,000 repulses and defeats. And then contrasting teams and gangs, Mickey Mantle said this, "A team is where a boy can prove his courage on his own. A gang is where a coward goes to hide." Now, you light up the room with your glow whenever you refer to your team, your band of brothers, and your coach. What made that partnership work so well for you?
Yeah, I think that there was an awesome synergy throughout the entire team. And honestly, I think it started from the top down with Coach, an awesome guy. I love Coach Castillo, and he taught me so much then initially, you know, about hard work, about working hard, putting the work in, and also being a good student at the same time, a student athlete, you know. So he gave us, he basically gave us an opportunity to be ourselves, because we could come in and laugh and you know, joke around, and he was always so pliable when it came to the guys on the team. And I guess the picture I'm trying to paint is, he wasn't heavy-handed. He was whenever he had to be at the appropriate times, whenever it was time to work hard, whenever it was time to train, you know. But at the same time, it was beautiful for me, just because you can joke around and make fun of the coach at the same time, you know, on the other end, whenever it's playtime, and he'd do the same to you. And so that kind of fostered everybody else. I mean, there's just a certain energy, if you will, that we can joke around with the guys on the team, and it's playtime, basically. I mean, again, if I can joke with Ben or with TK or with whoever and have a good time doing what I love, why wouldn't I come back for more, kind of deal? And so I think, you know, with the team and throughout the years, that was something that wasn't lost upon us. I mean, we definitely valuable, and I think, you know, I think we were a lot closer for it, and it helped us, you know, through the years, go through, you know, the different challenges that we did as far as the competitions and that sort of thing, the rough times and the good times. We were all there together. So it was, it was awesome.
The challenges of competing is inherent by the very nature of the sport. But every team, I think, every partnership and group, every family or marriage face conflicts, personal and interpersonal challenges, regardless of synergy. Or at least, so it would seem generally. Didn't the cross-country team confront interpersonal challenges? And if so, how did you deal with all of that? Both kinds of challenges.
So we did have some challenges as a team, and with such a close-knit group of young men, you know, strong-willed individuals, we're brothers, if you will, and brothers fight sometimes. And so that was definitely a challenge. I mean, having the personalities there, and granted, you know, sometimes you would have tiffs, just again like anybody else would, but those weren't our biggest challenges in my eyes. I mean, I think, again, on the run side, freshman year and sophomore year, both years in cross country, those were definitely the challenging years. And, you know, freshman year, I think we placed second at district, which was awesome. We had Carroll that took first, which is a local, you know, rival high school there. And come the regional meet, Carroll ends up qualifying for state. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Coach Castillo was just, oh, you couldn't even console the guy. He was so upset. Mm-hmm. And so he's screaming and he's, you know, doing this. And I remember him, you know, he's pounding on the steering wheel there. Let me set up the regional cross-country meet. Was a very cold day. It was rainy out. The course was a mess. It was just miserable. And so after the race, I thought we had done pretty bad. Everybody kind of knew. And, of course, Coach is just, I mean, so upset. And so we pack into the van afterwards as a team, and we're wet, soaking wet. And here comes Coach, and it's just the onslaught. And he's banging on the steering wheel, and he's so upset. Because Carroll qualified for state, and we finished, who knows where we finished, kind of deal. And so it was, at that point, I had never seen him that upset. And I respected, you know, the passion that he showed. I didn't necessarily understand it. I knew we were in trouble. I knew he wasn't, you know, I knew he wasn't happy with us. Right. But I'd never seen somebody so upset. And looking back at it, I'm like, no, that makes sense. Like, we want to be where Carroll was. They're in our backyard, and they qualified for state, which is awesome for them. Great group of guys that we knew, but that's not our focus. That wasn't our goal. And so seeing my coach that upset, and again, very, very quiet bus ride or van ride home, whatever it was, and even more quiet once he's yelling and screaming, but that showed me, like, no, he cares that much. We're here to do, you know, to be successful. He wants us to be that successful. So going into sophomore year, you know, we had a lot of returnees from the previous year, and we started, you know, the season off on the right foot, and I'm sure we won a couple of meets and this and this and that, and going into, you know, district meet, I think we won our district meet as a team, and going into the regional meet, you know, we had big plans for that year. And unfortunately, the week leading into the race, a few of the guys got sick. One of the guys was hurt. I mean, it was November or October, November. So just the season where, you know, weather starts to turn and allergies come up and just the time of year. And so it happened to bite us in the butt, but at the same time, you know, we're there to race. Let's go. And so we go through the race, you know, again, all these challenges leading up into the regional meet, and we ended up finishing fourth, which, again, top three teams qualify to state. So we're the first guys out, and, I mean, heartbreak, total heartbreak. And on the individual side, top 10 individuals go to state. I think that year there was a previous meet that was an awesome setup for the regional meet. It was another invitational that all the, you know, the regional competitors come to, early season race, where you kind of see where you are. And I had a really good shot at qualifying for state individually. So, granted, again, fourth place on the team side, I ended up getting 11th on the individual side. So I was the first guy out. And on both fronts, it's like your team is on the outside looking in. I'm by myself, the outside looking in. And I remember that year, I was so upset. Now it's my turn to be upset. You know, like for me, the team. I mean, granted, I wanted to send, you know, the seniors out on a good note, and I was upset for that fact. Of course, we wanted to go to state. That was our goal, and it didn't happen. But I had never had an opportunity. I never had been put in a situation until that point where I was that close and didn't make it. And so, of course, here I go back on the computer and I'm looking up the other regional races just because, you know, I'm a fan and I wanted to know how it went. And I'm bitter at this point just because I didn't qualify. And, of course, I happened to be that regional finish between the 9th, 10th, and me being the 11th individual place. That was the closest out of all regional meets, and I'm thinking it would happen to me. You know, it would happen to me. But on the flip side of that, I was so fired up going into that track season, and then of course the following year, because I had something to prove not only to everybody else but to myself that I was better than 11th, and that we were better than 4th.
The standing question for today is this. What is your plan of action for a moment of conflict or crisis? What is your plan of action for a moment of conflict or crisis? So there you were on the outside looking in, so close, but the door is closed. What was the impact on you?
For me, it put my focus and my determination, it took it to a whole nother level. And so I had never been so upset before. And I mean, that bothered me. And it still bothers me. I mean, I'm still upset. Like, I want to go for a run right now. But, you know, my season ended, our season ended. Mm-hmm. At the same time, and it ended early, or at least for the plans that we had in mind. And so it was bitter. I was so bitter, and I'm sure maybe some of the guys were too about it. But watching the results of the state meet and thinking that you're there and not being there and feeling like you deserve to be there, it's like, no, I was out the door training through the winter like a madman. And I'm sure the guys were the same way. And I remember running to my buddy Pip's house, in like the dead of winter at night sometimes, which granted that was how I was sneaking in mileage, running 10 miles by myself because I had something to prove. And I'm pretty sure the guys can say the same thing on their own end. It was, we wanted it, didn't get it. We felt like we were, you know, not cheated in any sense, but we're going to refocus. We're going to put it all back together, and we're going to be successful, period. Like, we have something to prove. Yeah. And so after cross country season and setting us up for spring, track season, it was awesome. I mean, still carrying that chip on our shoulder, if you will. And for me personally, it's like I had beaten those people in cross country season that beat me. And then, the same thing on the team side. We had something to prove, and that's exactly how we came, exactly how we responded on the training side and on the race side, because our focus was like, very, very tight.
No, that's in your junior year now.
That's after our, after the sophomore cross-country season, and then carrying on into our sophomore track season. Mm-hmm. So the same thing, in the summer, after track season, we take a couple weeks, and then we start gearing up for cross-country again, and everybody knew what, everybody agreed that we had something to prove. And so, the training, that summer leading into junior season, it's like we have things to do, and we were out there working our butts off in order to get there.
And what was the result then in the junior year?
So junior year, awesome. We invitationals in the early season that we were very successful with, and again, we can kind of see all the pieces of the puzzle coming together, and of course, coach is leading us. Coach says, go, left. We take a left. He says, jump through this hoop. We jump through whatever hoop he was putting us through, on the training side. And we ended up, going to district. I think we won district. I don't remember the regional meet. But anyway, we qualified for the state meet for the first time as a team that junior season. And so it was my first time. Of course, everybody's kind of first time going to state. And we know that it's a good thing. That's what you want. Okay, what does that mean? Nobody knows what that means. We've never been here before. And so we ended up, out of 12 teams there, we ended up getting sixth. Mm. And coach seemed fairly happy about it. Again, I don't feel like we had any sort of context to put it into. And I'm looking at six, and I'm like, yeah, that's okay. I think it's okay. I don't know if it's good or bad just because we were so inexperienced. And so I ended up getting 22nd on my end. And for me, I wasn't happy about that. But again, I didn't really have any context to put it into. It's like, okay, well, that's what the end result was. And so we were the contrast between sophomore year ending and junior year ending. It's like, yeah, we're doing like all the hard work that we put in and that we've been putting in prior to, say, even sophomore year. It started to pay off. So going into senior year, we had six out of our top seven returning from our junior year. And so that rarely happens. And granted, with the successful campaign that we had, the season that we had, finishing sixth at state, leading into senior year, we were all kind of looking around the room like, hey, can this happen? Can this state thing, it was becoming more and more realistic. But at the same time, we had another young man, Luis Galicia, that came in, and he had never run with us before. He was a soccer player for a couple of years there at King, and everybody kind of knew of him, and he decided to come out for cross country. And immediately his attitude was, hey, I'm here, and I'm not here to get, I'm not here for fun. I'm here to win, kind of deal. And so right off the bat, won the respect of everybody. An awesome guy. Talented. So you add another guy to the mix, and he happened to be, that was so unexpected, and right off the bat, very successful. He could run with us, and if it's like everybody, again, is looking around, we're just going through our meets, we'd won a number of meets, and we knew the schools that we were competing against as far as, the ones that stood a shot at the state level, and early in the season, we would go to some invitational meets, and state rankings being what they are, we knew who was ahead of us, and we knew who we were racing that day. And so we beat a couple of teams. I think our first one was at the A&M College Station invite, where, if I'm not mistaken, Cinco Ranch was ranked number one going into that meet, and we ended up winning. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the first time that we kicked down the door on the state level, where it's like, hey guys, we're here and we're doing it. And so from that point on, we went to a couple of other meets and ended up winning them as well. A couple of bit larger caliber meets and winning on the team side. And so we're there and we're doing it, and we're ranked number one in the state rankings for a number of weeks. And here comes district against championship season. perfect score at district. Awesome. We go into the regional race, and again, we're expecting to do good things, and we fumbled. we stumbled. I mean, we ended up finishing second to an awesome team from Del Rio, and at that point, I mean, it just seemed like everybody was down, and it wasn't heartbreaking because we did enough
to get into
the state meet, and so we knew that there were still bigger fish to fry, but at the same time, on the competitive side, we hated losing, and we hated losing, and there was a sense of disgust, if you will, just how disappointed everybody was, and Coach saw that, you know, he read it well. I mean, it was painted on our faces, and regrouping the guys afterwards, you know, we had to focus again and come together and know, like, it's okay, we made it to state, regionals is regionals, it's over and done with, here we go. And so leading into the state meet, and of course, we had the different websites for forums and that sort of thing, and I couldn't keep my eyes off of them just because, again, fan of the sport, but at the same time, I'm like, I want to know what people are thinking, and of course, probably not the best thing to do just because it's not, you know, it wasn't always positive what they were saying, but going into the state meet, nobody had an idea who was going to win just because, you know, again, we had gained all sorts of momentum with the number of races that we run and being ranked number one, and then we stumble. So the door was open for everybody as far as on the team side. And so knowing that, I mean, on our radar, everybody was on our radar, you know, statewide that had qualified. So 12 teams, it was too much to keep up with if our focus was on them.
Yeah, right.
All we basically could do and all we did was regroup and focus on our efforts. And we knew with the previous races what our talent level and that we could accomplish wins and that we were a damn good team.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was definitely a challenge, and I think that was our biggest challenge. I mean, it was our biggest challenge at that point, was, you know, stumbling and trying to put all the pieces back together in order for the statement.
Music played an integral role for you, didn't it?
Yeah, I think for all of us, you know, the music actually brought us a little bit closer together. So collectively, for the most part, we kind of agreed on, on music that we would listen to on, like, the bus rides to and from the meets, which, granted, we would ride in these short buses that Coach would drive us to and from the meets in, but they had little jacks that you could throw in, you know, a CD player, MP3 player. So we'd be blaring Taking Back Sunday and The Used, and, like, to the point to where it's obnoxious. Some of the guys on the team were just asking, do you have any more CDs away from these two guys? Like, can you stop? You know, but definitely then, I mean, again, with training and the mileage and everything that we had, we have all this time together, and knowing that, you know, the music, if you will, brought us together again. And I still think about these times whenever I'm listening to it, because I still love the same bands and the same kind of music. So, yeah, it was definitely an influence, I would say.
Now, right to the peak of this, college was on the horizon, wasn't it?
So throughout throughout my senior year, I was also going on college visits just because I was getting recruited by, you know, a couple of different colleges, and what the heck is college kind of deal, you know? Like, for me, it was nothing that I ever thought about, years before. Maybe it was just so short-sighted, but running at a university and having that opportunity years before then, it wasn't really an idea of mine, you know. It, granted, my sister ran in college and was awesome, you know, did her deal there, and watching her kind of grow into that. But on my end, for whatever, it would call me naive, but it wasn't necessarily something I thought of years before. So I say that because, you know, during senior year, having all these successful races and this and that. You know, you're getting letters from different colleges, and people want you to come on recruiting trips, and it was awesome. It was good to be. It felt good to be recruited, and again, having the hard work pay off for the last couple of years. And so, it wasn't necessarily a challenge of mine keeping the focus on the season as I was going through these things, just because, you know, it's college, like it's such an important thing.
Yeah.
And so I had gone on a couple of visits, University of Texas, Texas A&M, Texas State. I had one lined up to University of Oklahoma, and then A&M Corpus there in my hometown. And so I went on a number of visits in all, and ended up staying there in Corpus Christi and attending Texas A&M. And so a number of reasons for that, and you know, there's just a comfort that came along with being with my family and having all my friends that I've known around, and being, you know, essentially a big fish in a small pond there, and still having a coach that was awesome. I've known Coach Flanagan for years, going to his cross country camp and all. Awesome guy, stand up guy, and it was definitely a challenging decision, but it was the right decision, and so. Yeah, so staying there, you know, for school and training and getting to meet a whole other group of guys who were just as awesome as the last guys that I left there at King in high school, but you're taking it up a notch as far as the training and, of course, the academic side with, you know, there's a lot more freedom that comes along with college in comparison to high school. This growing up thing is actually really awesome. if you do it right and you're responsible. But no, it was great, you know. Training, again, you're stepping up, you're committing more time to mileage, and you got to really pay attention to your body more, and, you know, you got to prioritize your time with the school side of things. And I also picked up, I was working at Fleet Feet Sports there in Corpus Christi through college for the last 4 years. And so for me personally, it was definitely a challenge to, you know, wear all my different hats and stay on top of things, but I loved it, and it just everything. You know, it was just the ball was rolling, if you will, and it was natural and it was awesome. So my experience there in college, I mean, the best thing ever. Stinking college. Like, I'm smiling now, and I that's all I'm going to give you, because I'll probably get in trouble if I share more. But it was great, and you know, even then it wasn't something, you know, I majored in business, but that wasn't something like kind of the I guess, depending on context, me having no idea that I could run in college years before, mm-hmm. and having the opportunity to run in college, mm-hmm. the same thing happened whenever it came time to choose what you're going to study. It's like, oh, okay, you got to pick something. Okay, well, that's cool, but I don't, you know, it's just something new that I call it me being naive again, but majoring in that, it just, you're growing up, and it was a beautiful thing to be able to, one, go through that process, but two, also do it in my own backyard.
Mm. But why did you end up picking business? Just because it was new, or what made you choose that?
A number of things. I mean, I'd taken, you know, of course, a couple of intro classes, and it was just intriguing for me. I like the challenge. I never knew, you know, the inner working. I mean, business administration in general is... it's awesome, and you can go through so many different avenues. And I liked that idea of obviously earning your degree and having options for what you want to do after, you know, college years are done with. So I had an awesome professor, Dr. Sherman, there at A&M Corpus, and I took one of his entry-level business classes, and he just lit me up. I mean, it just brought me to life in his classroom. And before that, of course, you know, with middle school or elementary school, high school, everything, you know, school was kind of something that you just, for me, just kind of did. I'm not the brightest guy by any means, but the way he presented this, you know, business idea or whatever topic it was, he did it in a way that was challenging but also insightful. And for me, I was hooked. He hooked me. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of taking one of his classes, I think it was junior year, or excuse me, maybe sophomore year, but he had me, and I wanted more, and I wanted more. So I definitely rode his wave, if you will, the last couple of years in college. And, that was basically how my decision was made, just, you know, being the extrovert I am and feeding off of his energy.
While we await the arrival of other teammates who stood in the drizzle that day, seven boys became men, including the view of Ryan and Toes and Nate and Coach Castilla. Why not get a heads up on your dreams, on achieving your goals, on building your team, on becoming a great leader, and an effective mentor? Check out The Hunk I Dreamed, available for you at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, ready-made for any of your digital devices for less than the cost of a cup of coffee. And look out for the audio version coming your way in 3 winks of a dreamer's eye. The Hunk I Dreamed, by yours truly.
One of the most significant things about this experience is what I learned about leadership. Whether it was from my coach or my dad or my teammates, I was empowered to focus on my efforts without any sort of constraint. Leadership is allowing those involved to feel and know and be the driving force towards a common goal. They're not driven or dragged towards the end result, but given an opportunity to reach it, to own it in their heart and have no doubt it is theirs. Each of us was empowered by the support group we had. Our parents, our coach, each other, since we were allowed to take the opportunity and make it our own. We did just that, and we came alive.
Thank you, Ari, for doing Double Duty today. You can find Ari's ongoing series, The Day Seven Boys Became Men, on riosports.com. That is riosports.com, riosports.com, and many other platforms. You can also find links to the lads' favorite music, movies, and books. Check them out. See you next week.